Wednesday. Today is July the 31st, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, the battle over the use of dicamba has been ongoing in the ag industry the last couple years. Now looking at registration of the three main products with the EPA is making agricultural news. We're going to take a look at how the companies that produce it have filed their registration requests and what the likely outcome might be. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Taking a look at your agricultural headlines, a new proposed label for Tavium, which is Syngenta's dicamba herbicide, would maintain over-the-top application of the product in soybeans, but only through the V2 growth stage or until June 12th, whatever would come the first. The U.S. EPA published a notice of receipt in the Federal Register and announced the start of the 30-day public comment period for Tavium, which contains the active ingredient S-metachlor and dicamba for use on tolerant soybeans and cotton. The agency stated that because the application involves a new patent for dicamba, it is required to provide a comment period on the registration application consistent with the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. Now, the EPA is also seeking comment on the associated draft label that was submitted by Syngenta. With the announcement, Syngenta joins Bayer and BASF in submitting new labels for their previously registered over-the-top dicamba products. It comes more than 5 months after a federal court in Arizona vacated the product's 2020 registrations and public comment periods for proposed registrations and labels for Bayer's Xtendimax and BASF's Ingenia herbicides ended on June 3rd and July 5th, respectively. They did receive nearly 23,000 comments combined. Now, the proposed label for Tavium would allow the application to dicamba-tolerant soybeans before, during, and immediately after planting, as well as over the top until the crop reaches that V2 growth stage when the second trifoliate leaf is fully unfolded, or until June 12th, whichever would come first. The previous label of that over the top application in soybeans was until V4 or until June 30. Now, Syngenta's proposed label for Tavium mirrors BASF's proposed label for Ingenia with the same growth stage and cutoff dates. The proposed label for Bayer's Xtendimax product also carries that same June 12th cutoff date, but did not include any over-the-top applications in soybeans. The federal court's action vacated the 2020 registration of Tavium, Ingenia, and Xtendimax and led the EPA to issue an existing stocks order for the 2024 season, allowing for the use of the herbicides already distributed from product registrants following application cutoff dates on previously approved labels. Sale and distribution of these three dicamba products for use in soybeans and cotton was prohibited in all states as of June 30th, the same as the final over-the-top application cutoff date for soybeans, and application to cotton allowed for that to continue until July 30 of this year. Now, previously, soybean growers expressed concern with the proposed labels for the over-the-top dicamba products, and in May, following the announcement of the public comment period for Bayer's Xtendimax, Alan Meadows, a soybean farmer from Tennessee and the director of the American Soybean Association, said that tens of thousands of U.S. soybean farmers would be, quote, sitting ducks without post-emerge dicamba. In June, he noted that soybean fields would be susceptible to weed reinfestations between that V2 growth stage cutoff that is the proposed by BASF and Syngenta and the canopy crop closure date. Now, the proposed June 12th cutoff date was also questioned because it does not account for environmental factors, that being things like a wet spring that delays soybean plantings and the subsequent herbicide applications. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Well, it's hard to believe, but it's been over 30 years since the term biotechnology was first brought up in agricultural circles. Now, a division of USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service is responsible for determining regulations associated with a plant species developed through biotechnology. USDA's Rod Bain looks at part of the assessment process.
Biotechnology in the realm of plants and if or how those should be regulated. That is part of the work with the biotechnology Biology Regulatory Services Division of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service. Biological scientist Abigail Walter coordinates the review status of genetically modified plants. She explains what exactly biotech in the plant realm might look like.
That might mean things like where we can take a gene from one organism and put it in another, or gene editing tools, where we can make very precise and targeted mutations in the genome of a plant to achieve a phenotype that we're looking for.
She says an important consideration when determining potential risk and regulation of a biotech plant is not all biotech products are the same. For instance, take an ornamental plant modified to change the color of its flowers for commercial sale.
In terms of the risk that it presents to agriculture, might impact agricultural services, might introduce some sort of new pest or pathogen complex, is not really something that we need to be worried about from a regulatory perspective.
However, take a tropical or subtropical plant that is genetically modified to allow for its reproduction in colder climates.
And as it moves, it has the possibility that it could be pulling a whole pest and pathogen complex with it, and that those organisms could start to affect other plants, or it could start to interact with the ecosystem, start to interfere with other plant agriculture.
Both examples dovetail into APHIS's approach to regulatory status review of biotech plants.
If we're familiar with the modified plant, with the biology of the plant, with what's going to happen with the modification, and it's well understood, and there is no reason to think that risk could increase from that plant, then we don't want to regulate. If there is a scientifically plausible hypothesis that says that risk could increase, then we want to keep that plant regulated unless or until we have information that tells us that risk is unlikely.
This leads biotechnology regulatory services to conduct risk assessments, starting with,
could this affect when, where, and how the plant grows? And then there could be changes to the adverse consequence posed by the plant. We go through the initial review. We're looking at what is known about the plant and the modification. If we do come up with a hypothesis, that means that the process needs to proceed to the second stage, which is a plant pest risk assessment. Hopefully, we would get information from the developer that would help us address the hypotheses we've identified.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.